100 years ago, there was among the North American churches a controversy between the fundamentalism and modernism. Jarvis Street Baptist Church was one of the strongholds during that controversy, as fundamentalists defending the church doctrines and also try to defend the faith from the attacking or inroads of modernism, or we say liberalism. Because after the 17th century and 18th century Enlightenment, and also the 19th century Industrial Revolution, men in the beginning of 20th century think that they are more knowledgeable and more powerful, and the men become more proud and regard themselves as a judge, that they would be able to judge the Word of God, to criticize the Scripture. So many doctrines at that time was on stake. One of the fundamental doctrine of Christian faith, the doctrine of virgin birth of Jesus, was attacked by modernism or liberalism at that time. Because people think we have no more about biology, science. Because people think virtual birth of Jesus is a miracle, is impossible, is supernatural. We can't, as modern man, and as modern human being, can't accept that. That's why they try to attack this fundamental doctrine. The reason that people attack doctrines like this, and many facts and reality revealed in the Bible, is not simply because people could not comprehend or understand or figure out why those things happen. But more than that, because sinners from their own heart, they can't accept supernatural events like virgin birth. Is that they can't accept a supernatural God. The reason that they refuse the reality of virgin birth of Jesus is that they refuse a supernatural God. As we know, the virgin birth story or account was recorded in both Matthew and Luke's Gospels. In Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25, and also in Luke chapter 1, verses 26 to 38, as we read earlier. In Matthew's account, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph and told Joseph that the baby conceived in Mary's womb is from God, is from the Holy Spirit. And then in the Gospel of Luke, the angel of the Lord foretold Mary that you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. As we consider this topic, this doctrine of virgin birth of Jesus, I'd like to share with you three simple questions around this topic. The question of what, how, and why. First, what is the virgin birth of Jesus? The concept, what is the virgin birth of Jesus? Virgin, as we know, is normally a young lady without marriage, particularly hasn't had any sexual intercourse with any male. He's like a blank paper, like a field without seed. Humanly speaking, a virgin cannot conceive. Virgin cannot give birth to a baby. And then the scripture clearly tells us that Mary is a virgin. Both Matthew's account and Luke's account testify this truth. For example, in Matthew, we read, Matthew 1:18, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And then in Luke's gospel, Mary herself, questioning the angel, she said, how will this be, since I am a virgin? Virgin will not be able to give birth. And Mary is a virgin. So Mary, humanly speaking, could not give birth to a child. But this thing happened in reality, in the history. Mary, as the scripture tells us, gave birth to Jesus. And then we can only acknowledge that this is a supernatural event. This is a miracle, basically. This is not something that a human being can comprehend or understand, because this is not logical. This is not according to scientific laws. This is a supernatural event. But as we consider this text, this birth is Jesus' birth. Who is Jesus? As angel announced to Mary, the angel said to Mary in Luke 1:31, he said, behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Mary was going to conceive in her womb and bear a son. This is a man or a baby with human flesh, with human blood. He is a living thing in Mary's womb. And he will be born as the son of Mary. He is a human being. The scripture clearly indicates here that Jesus will have flesh and blood, because he was conceived there in a human woman's womb. And as many other parts of the scripture testifies, and as we believe that our Lord Jesus has full humanity, he is a man, he is a human being, the scripture indicates that. As John in his gospel said, the Word became flesh. The Word that was once in the beginning with God became flesh. Just like us, with flesh and blood, he is a human. He's just like us, fully human. But he is not only human, a son of man, but also the son of God. As angel told Mary, he said, he will be great and will be called the Son of Most High. The Son of the Most High God. The Son of God. And furthermore, the angel said, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. If we are familiar with the Old Testament, we know this is something related to the Davidic covenant prophesied in 2 Samuel chapter 7. When God gave that covenant to King David, God promised David that David's offspring will be a king and rule over his kingdom forever. And this is the one who came into the world as the Old Testament prophesied, the Messiah, the anointed king, the Son of God. He is not only a human, but also God himself, the second person of Trinity, very God of very God. Jesus is Son of God, and he was born of a woman is a man and the virgin birth of Jesus, if we summarize this concept or this event, is the way of incarnation or the way of the Son of God, the Messiah, the way of Messiah enter into this world through a Virgin Mary. This is the concept. Oh, to answer this question, what is the virgin birth? This is a supernatural event happening in history, in this world 2,000 years ago. A supernatural event of incarnation. The Word become flesh. And then second question I'd like to consider is how, as Mary questioning and asked the angel Gabriel, how will this be since I am a virgin? How will this be since I am a virgin? In this question, there are two senses. The first sense is a possibility, or maybe we can switch the question, how can this be? Is this possible for a virgin to conceive and give birth to a son? When we talk about possibility, this is something might happen in reality. But the question is, how is it possible for a virgin to give birth to a son? You see, when we look into a baby's eyes, we are amazed. When we look to a child, a little child, a lovely ones, we can consider the potentials in that baby or in that little child. How much possibilities there in that life? God creator. You see, we can imagine this little boy running around. Maybe in 10 years, in 20 years, in 30 years, he will become a great man, a great scientist. He would become a politician. He might become a wonderful missionary. Or this little one might become a criminal, an evil man. Many possibilities, many potentials. But when we consider possibility, you won't say that maybe there is a possibility that this little boy will be in the future become a tiger or a lion. That is impossible. No possibility for a little baby or little child become an animal like lions or tigers or birds. That's basically not possible. And here the question Mary had is it possible for me, a virgin, seedless, like those barren old ladies, is it possible for me to give birth to a child? Well, the answer from the angel we found in verse 37. The angel basically said, nothing will be impossible with God. Just like in the book of Genesis, when Abraham's wife, Sarah, heard that God will give Abraham a son through Sarah, and Sarah laughed. She thought, I'm an old lady, I'm already past the age of giving birth. How could me give birth to a son? And there God said to Sarah, is it anything so hard for the Lord? Is anything hard for the Lord God Almighty? Because this God is a creator, creator God. He not only made this physical world, he also made all the laws, the rules, all the truths. He is the one who made the world, the creator. He is able to make a way in the deep sea. He is able to make a path in the mighty waters. He is able to make all the possibilities. He is able to transform even sinners like us to be a children of God. Is it possible? Yes, it's not possible for human. But nothing is impossible with God. Man cannot understand, cannot accept miracles like this because they cannot accept a supernatural God. They cannot acknowledge that this God can not only made the physical world, but also made or even changed the law of gravity. But our God is a creator. He can. It's possible for him to do all things. But there is another sense in this question. How will this be? Or when we consider how the airplane fly in the air, maybe we are not mechanics or scientists, we cannot fully understand, but at least we can understand the basic principles of those things happened. How this happened that the virgin conceived and gave birth? The answer of the angel we found in verse 35. He said, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Two key words there, come upon and overshadow. Firstly, we see who will come upon Mary, the Holy Spirit. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, not man. This Jesus, this Son, is not of Mary, but of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon Mary. You see, when anyone come to you, you assume before he comes, there is a distance. Before the Holy Spirit came upon Mary, before God visited his people again, there is a gap, a distance between God and sinners. There is a gap. But now the good news is, God came into this world and became flesh. The Holy Spirit will come. Just as today we're waiting for the second coming of our Lord, we know that we have a distance from the second coming, but we know he will come. There is a tension, a distance. But the first detail or important thing is that the Holy Spirit will come upon Mary. That reminds us in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, when God created the heavens and earth, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit was hovering. The Holy Spirit will come upon, but also we see the power of the Most High will overshadow. Overshadow is not only just a shadow over, but this word overshadow is from the subject, the power of the Most High. The power of God will overshadow Mary. Overshadow means that the power of God will overcome the nature of human body. If we consider Mary's body, Mary's womb, in a scientific way or in a biological way, there is some natural rules, but the power of God will overshadow Mary, will overpower, will work mightily to change. Just like in the beginning when God made heavens and earth, we see Holy Spirit was hovering over the face of the waters. And then in verse 3 of Genesis, we read, God said, let there be light. And then the power of that God's word went forth and made the world from that chaotic status. The power of God can change this world. The power of God can change that sinful heart. The power of God can change human bodies to conceive a son. Yes, angel answered Mary in such a simple, brief way, but yet we would never fully understand as human beings, because this is the mystery of incarnation, one of the greatest miracles as we read in the Bible. But we know this is the mystery of God, and this is God's work, not Mary's work, not human beings' work. This is God's work. That's why the one who will be born will be called Son of God, will be called holy, because that's from the Holy Spirit. How this happened, we may not know. Just like Jesus told Nicodemus, you see the work of the Holy Spirit just like the wind. You hear the wind comes and goes, but you don't see it. The work of the Holy Spirit is like this. We can never fully understand the ins and outs of this process, but we can testify. We can see the result, as angel father told Mary, and he said, behold, maybe you don't understand what I'm saying, maybe it's hard for you to accept, but behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the 6th month with her who was called barren. Elizabeth, humanly speaking, is barren, cannot bear a son. But you see here, there is a proof. And as we know in the Old Testament, there's many proofs like this. Sarah, Abraham's wife, Rebecca, even Rachel, and Hannah, Prophet Samuel's mother, and many other women, they were barren, and then God gave them life, gave them sons, gave them proof. Maybe today, when we go out to testify this, people say, people may ask you, have you ever seen an older woman in her 90 years old give birth a son? Maybe you never see that. We never see Mary and Joseph, but can we give a testimony of that transforming power of God in ourselves? Yes, many genuine Christians can give that testimony. And they said, just like that blind man who was born of blind, he said, I don't know what happened. The only thing is that I was born blind, but now I see. We as Christians, maybe we never saw those miraculous things, but one thing we can say, that I was lost, but now I'm found. I was dead, I was a prodigal, but now I'm found in Jesus. This is God's work. How it happened? We can simply, as angel indicates here, but we can't fully know. But this is the reality. I can't deny. I was blind, but now I see. This is my testimony. And then the third question is, why? If the virgin birth of Jesus is that supernatural work of incarnation, and that is the work of God, the power of God changing, transforming human lives. But why this happened? What is for? What is the purpose of virgin birth? And we read in Matthew's account, angel, when he told Joseph that this son should be called Jesus, and then he gave the reason. In Matthew 1, verse 21, for he will save his people from their sins. This son, this Jesus, was born of a virgin. He had mission to save his people from their sins. He was born of Virgin Mary because of this mission, because this redemptive work that God planned in Jesus. As Hebrews chapter 2 teaches us, this is appropriate for Jesus to be like one of us, that he may become the great high priest, merciful, faithful high priest for us. He needed to be identified with us as brothers and sisters. He needed to be a human. He needed to be born of a woman, that he may be able to be our Savior, that he may be able lawfully to stand in our place, to be judged, to be crucified, to suffer for our sake. He was born to save sinners, to save his people from their sin. And we also know that Jesus in every way is same to us, but there's one way he was without sin. Because virgin birth, he didn't inherit any human sin from Mary. He didn't inherit any original sin from Adam. Through this virgin birth, we have this Son of Man, but also the Son of God, that he would be able to conquer our enemies, that he would be able to rise up from the grave and to be our King and to open the heaven gate that we may all get in. The virgin birth clearly tells us that this Savior, this Jesus, he is the man, that he would be able to save us. He would be able to come into my situation to save me from my sin. He need to become a man. But he was born from a virgin, through a virgin. This eternal word incarnate, become flesh through a virgin without sin, that he would be sinless, be perfect, great high priest for us. But also the Matthew's gospel also tell us in Matthew 1:22, said, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. This happened, the virgin birth happened, as Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14 prophesied, happened to fulfill not only the prophet's word, but the word of the Lord by the prophet. This is to fulfill God's word. This is to fulfill God's purpose. This is to fulfill God's eternal plan. As Adam heard when they were kicked out from the garden, that the offspring of woman will bruise the head of the serpent. The offspring is pointing to Christ Jesus. Jesus is that one prophesied from the very beginning, the seed of the offspring of the woman, the one who will crush, bruise the head of serpent to defeat our enemy Satan and even death. This is to fulfill God's eternal purpose. That's why we see this virgin birth. People cannot understand this. People of this world could not accept such a supernatural reality because they cannot accept a supernatural God. We, after a century, those people 100 years ago can boast that they are modernist. And now, in 21st century, people may boast that we are postmodernism. We are much smarter than those people of the century ago. And people in this world has much power to do many different things. They could land on the moon. They could go into the deep sea to find the Titanic. They could even transform themselves and change their gender. How great man is! That's why they can't accept God. That's why they can't accept this miraculous God. But our God is the Creator. He is the Lord. He has pity, has mercy upon us. We are like Adam and Eve from beginning to the end. Human beings are always the same. We didn't change too much after one century or 20 centuries. The sinful nature never changed. In the beginning, you see Adam and Eve. There, God make a wonderful garden for them, a wonderful, beautiful, delightful home for them. And there in that garden, there are two special trees. One is the tree of life. God didn't say that you shouldn't eat the fruit from the tree of life. We can consider if Adam and Eve eat the fruit from that tree, maybe they will have eternal life. But upon the other tree, the tree of knowledge of good and evil, God clearly told them, do not eat the fruit from that tree, because the day you ate from that tree, you will surely die. And you see, Adam and Eve, just like us, we are proud. We do not want to listen to God. Just like grown up, the teenagers or grown up human beings in this age, we do not want to listen to this old book. And they would rather listen to Satan. Satan said, you may not surely die. That's why they ate the fruit. And then they lost the paradise. And they were cut off from the source of life. They were away from God, their maker. And then all of us in Adam and Eve, we are in this sin-corrupted world. We experience all kinds of troubles, problems in this world, in this day and age. And we face death, sickness, wars, disasters. Maybe you say, I'm still young. Death is far away from me. Maybe you said, I'm very healthy and strong. I don't worry about sickness. But you see, this is a sin-corrupted world. Any day, any time, we could fall down and die. Death is something dreadful. Death is something people or human beings try to beautify. But the reality of death, sin, and curse is terrible. It's terrible. If you look to those situations in your loved one's life or in your own life, you will be humbled. This is the reality. Adam and Eve, you and me, people of this world, all struggle with the consequence of sin, rebellion to God. But God is grace and mercy. But God loved the world. As the Bible tells us, God so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. God once gave us his gift, his only begotten Son, but when God's Son came into this world, he became a ridicule. The human beings slandered of his virgin birth, couldn't believe such a miraculous thing. And the people even ridicule or mock his death and said, if you are the Son of God, how come God didn't come down to save you? You can't be the Son of God. Human beings of this world cannot accept. But God is gracious and merciful. He still sent his Son into this world to save those under the curse of sin and death and tyranny of Satan. He still sent his Son When his son was sent into this world, he was rejected. He was judged. He was brought to Golgotha, the place of a skull, death. And he was there crucified, hung on the cursed tree. You see how rebellious we are as sinners. We, if we truly know, we deserve nothing but judgment, eternal judgment. But God's love, God's grace is abounding beyond our sin. When sinners nailed him there on the cross, he opened his arms and welcomed sinners to him. He shed his blood for us that our sin might be washed away. He was there facing God's wrath to drink that bitter cup that we can be reconciled with righteous God. He was there died and buried in the grave that we may have a hope of eternal life, to raise up, to be raised up with him in Christ Jesus. People of this world do not understand that. They think they are smarter. They have more power, more knowledge. They think that they have learned more about the universe. But they do not know their sin. They still try to do that same thing as Adam did. They try to resolve the problem with their own knowledge, with their own ability, with their own hand. And then they will get into more troubles. We as Christians understand if we trust the Lord will mightily work through us, such earthen vessels. But if we try to take our life matters in our own hand, we will have more troubles. This is the gift of God. The human beings, the world shall never understand. People may still ask, how can that be? A virgin gave birth to a son. Or they should ask, how can, if he is the son of God, but God didn't save him on the cross? There's many miraculous things happened in the Bible. And there are many things we would never understand. But there is one greatest miracle that I think we would never understand. That is why holy God would love you and me, such pitiful, rebellious sinners. Why would God love us to that point that he would give his only begotten son, Jesus, and allow him to be nailed, killed by sinners, and to save you and me? Charles Wesley, in that famous hymn, Can It Be, said, 'Tis mystery all, the immortal dies. Who can explore his strange design? In vain the firstborn seraph tries to sound the depths of love divine. 'Tis mercy, mercy all, let earth adore, let angel minds inquires no more. Even the angels, the mighty angels in eternity try to understand why. They were not able to understand such a love, such a grace, such a mercy from God. We should imitate Mary and Joseph. Those kind of things is not easy to take in. But Joseph and Mary, they believed God's word through the angels. They submit themselves to God's will, and they did what God told them through angels. Do we, today as Christians, or even if you are not Christian yet, can we come into the presence of God to accept this gift? To believe God's word. This word will never change. whether we are in modern time or post-modern time, this words is God's words. Never change. We will ever be true. We need to cherish it. We need to believe God's word. And we need to submissive our life, our own will to God's will, and do God's work, just as Joseph and Mary did. Mary said, let it be to me. Let it be to me, though this is hard, but let it be to me according to your word. We as Christians of 21st century, we still not able to answer all the questions this world unbelievers may ask us, but we can give testimonies. We can share our witnesses. You see, 100 years ago, our forefathers stood firmly to defend the Christian faith. Today, we should again. As the Lord is still with us, it is not by our strength. Sometimes maybe we think Mary and Joseph, they have stronger faith. Yes, they are faithful, but even their faith was given by God, because God came upon Mary and Joseph in that wonderful revelation of angel. And God came upon us and tells us the truth of our life. We need to be humbled. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. Blessed are those who are humble, because they will bow before this mighty Lord Jesus and accept. Those who proclaim that they have more knowledge might always think, might always try to understand if this is true. But blessed are those who are humble, who would rather humble before the mighty God as Mary and Joseph, to accept Jesus, and then our life will change. Many of us here can testify thus. We were lost. We were blind. We were proud. But when we accept Jesus, the Son of God, our life is transformed, is changed. May God bless us and encourage us.